you know I got it. Come get it.
Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
Well, American man.
God bless America.
I'll be an American when at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys.
We'll touch your ring.
There's been a lot of talk lately about gun bans, naturally, in the wake of what happened in Connecticut last week. And like every other American, my heart goes out to the families who have had to experience this tragedy so close to Christmas. And I'm not one of those people who admonishes any American for bringing up the issue of gun bans and the Second Amendment in the wake of a tragedy like this. I think it's natural and normal. And I think it is an opportunity to discuss this issue openly. I wanted to have my cents as someone who was formerly anti-gun and formerly anti-Second Amendment. Yes, not anymore, but I used to be. And one of the things I used to say, and I hear a lot of people saying about modern weaponry is, look, you don't need an assault rifle or a machine gun to take down a bear or a lion or whatever you're taking down in modern America. And that's true, but it's also a mistake to believe that the Second Amendment was made for hunters. It has nothing to do with hunting at all, and this was one of the things that surprised me when I started researching the Second Amendment. It has absolutely nothing to do with hunting. It has to do with freedom and what the ability to brandish a weapon means to your freedom, because your freedom needs to be protected. And how do you protect freedom? Well, let's just think about the last group of people in this country who are forbidden from owning guns. That would be black people. Why? Because we were slaves. And what would happen if you gave a slave a gun? Well, they would no longer be a slave, right? Because a gun is one of the most powerful weapons in any revolution. Our founding fathers knew that, and that's why they enshrined it in our Constitution. They were revolutionaries. And they wanted the people to have the freedom to rise up against any oppressive government, just like they did with theirs. It's what keeps a society free, because when a government knows that its citizens can rise up against it, well, they're a little less inclined to enslave its population. It's why every dictator in modern history has begun with a gun ban in their country under the auspices of protection and safety. But what it did was disarm the citizenry. Do we have a government that we need to revolt against right now, physically speaking? Well, no. But that doesn't mean we never will. That doesn't mean some of us won't ever be enslaved again. I hear Democrats talk all the time about specific conservatives or Republicans. If they get into office, they'll send us back to Jim Crow. They want to put you all back in chains. Well, if you don't want that to happen, then don't support a gun ban. You can ban guns, but you can never ban evil. The best we can do is to tell our children, I will do everything in my power to protect you from evil. even if it means blowing its head off when it walks through the door.
The Shooting Bench is moving to a new time, beginning 11 November 2013. Please join me, Coke Reynolds, from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, for the Shooting Bench. In addition, Thursday nights will be 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk, and Fridays will be devoted to classic country music mixed with some important news. Join me now every weeknight for 2 hours of the most politically incorrect gun-related show on talk radio.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the and to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on the 5th of November. As a matter of fact, we got something just for that to get started with here from one of my very favorite shows in the whole world. Turn your sound up a little bit.
She seems to have taken from these parts, and in recognition of the imposter that stands in her stead. Tell me, do you know what day it is, Evie?
November the 4th.
Not anymore. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. First, the overture.
Yeah, we can. That's one of my favorite shows. As a matter of fact, we're going to watch that tonight after the show here tonight. At the bottom of the hour, Matt Bracken, author of Enemies Foreign and Domestic and the whole trilogy, plus a number of other books, is going to be my guest for as long as we have something to talk about. So we'll try to see if we can con him into hanging out here for the remainder of the show. But he's a busy man. If he can't make it, that's okay. Okay, we've got a number of things. Now, one of the things that is going on, going around here virally, I guess is the right word, is a recent stop in New Mexico. This was a guy that... He was pulled over by state police, and the state police seemed to think that he was clenching his butt cheeks together a little bit. So, unbelievable. Absolutely astounding to me. Several months ago, actually, and I hadn't learned about it until now. And it seems to be, and I don't know if the video and everything has just been kept a secret, if I just completely missed it, but it's all over the internet right now. It's a new story. It's updated just today, but it happened in January. The guy was shopping in Walmart in Deming, New Mexico. And he didn't quite make a complete stop at a stop sign coming out of the parking lot and was stopped by the cops. The attorney for this guy said that after law enforcement asked him to step out of the vehicle, he appeared to be clenching his buttocks. They thought that this was probable cause to suspect. Now, what if the guy just needed to poop? Hey, hurry up and give me a ticket if you're going to. I need to get to the bathroom. Probable cause, really, because he looks like he's clenching his cheeks. Probable cause. Well, it's what happened next that has caused this guy to file a federal lawsuit. They thought that this was probable cause, and he was hiding narcotics in his poop chute. So while the officers detained him, they got a search warrant from a judge that allowed for an anal cavity search. You have got to be kidding me. The lawsuit said the Deming police, it wasn't New Mexico State Police, it was Deming police, tried to take him to the emergency room in Deming, but a doctor there refused to perform the anal cavity search, citing it as unethical. Good for him. Hooray for that doctor. But the good doctors at the Gila Regional Medical Center in Silver City said, oh, hell yeah, we'll do it, no problem. Bend over this table here, we'll fix you right up. And he was admitted. And what happened here next? They show that first his abdominal area was x-rayed, no narcotics found. Then they performed an exam on his anus. With their fingers, no narcotics found. Got to be deeper than that. So then they did a second exam with their fingers. I'm thinking these doctors like that, is what I'm thinking. Then they penetrated his poop chute with an enema. He was forced to defecate in front of doctors and police officers. They watched as doctors searched through the poop puddle. No narcotics found. They did the enema thing again, forcing him to defecate in front of doctors and police officers. They searched through the puddle. No narcotics found. They did it a third time. Same thing. No narcotics found. They x-rayed him again. No narcotics found. They then prepped him for surgery, sedated him, and performed a colonoscopy where a scope with a camera inserted up the poop chute. Guess what? No narcotics found. Throughout this time, he protested, never did give doctors consent to do any of this. The lawyer said if officers in Hidalgo County and the city of Deming are seeking warrants for anal cavity searches based on how they're standing, and the warrant allows doctors in the Gila Hospital of Horrors to go in and do enemas and colonoscopies without consent, then anyone can be seized, and that's why the public needs to know about this. Can you possibly believe what has happened here? Now, I know the more hardcore amongst us will say, oh, yeah, you should expect that. It's going on all over. Well, it's not going on all over, not to this extent. There are rights violated and intrusions in our privacy daily, hourly, across the country. But it's not too often that you hear one of one like this. The Anonymous 4456, exactly right. The cops and the doctors, not just the cops and the doctors should be charged with rape. There's a federal lawsuit pending. I don't know what's going to come of it. I will try to keep an eye on it and let you know just as soon as I find out something. The Palm Bay, that's another one. I talked about that several weeks ago here on the shooting bench, a guy that was tased 3 times trying to go back into the shooting, the burning house to save his 3-year-old son. If it's the same one, there may be another one since then, but if unbelievable that this can happen. Yeah, and then they tried to bill him for it. Excuse me? You're going to violate me, rape me with your fingers because you like it, and cause me some of the worst humiliation that I could imagine that I've ever experienced, and you're going to charge me? You're going to send me a bill for all this? No. Thanks anyway, but I don't think that's going to be happening. So I'm not good with that. But obviously, this is something out of a movie. This is something you see out of what was that show? There was an Andy Griffith show where he was a judge or a lawyer or something down south. It was a movie. It wasn't the series where he was a lawyer. Something had to do with Mississippi, I think, somewhere down south, I don't remember. But this is the kind of stuff you expect. This is out of Vicki Lawrence's song, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. You know, I hesitate. If somebody just told me this, I'd probably agree, nod my head, and say, oh, yeah, that's awful, but I probably wouldn't believe them until I got a little more confirmation here. This is astounding to me. And when Matt Bracken comes on here in a little bit, we're going to talk about this amongst other things. Yeah, Pumpkin Cat, you know, I hate to say it, but yeah, I think you're right. It's going to get worse. It has to get worse. It can't, you know, people say, well, you know, it's an isolated incident. Things will get better. No, they won't. Things have been going downhill since the Civil War, since the Revolution, since the initial founding of our country, things have started going downhill very slowly. Nobody noticed. Way back when, things were pretty good in the 50s and in the early 60s, and things just escalated, going downhill a little faster. But it's been going downhill. It's not going to turn around. It's not just going to stop. They're not going to get up here one morning and say, hey, wait, stop, time out. No, this is wrong what we're doing. What are we thinking? Let's tidy ourselves up a little bit. Let's clean our house up. No. You expect they're going to do that? You're an idiot. It's not going to happen. This is going to continue to get worse. It's going to continue to affect good people that have done nothing wrong. There's a thousand stories like this, but one of the ones that one of the most I can't say one of the most tragic, one of the ones that comes to mind right offhand. There's so many tragic ones here, but that is the young Marine in Tucson. I cannot get over that. They got the wrong house. He'd been working nights. He was tired. They busted the door down, and he's got his AR-15 trying to protect his family. And they killed him. Shot him 70-some-odd times in 7 seconds. And so we're just going to stop. Oh, gee, I'm so sorry. Here's some money. She actually did. His widow did actually win a lawsuit, and she got, remember what it was, $1 million or something here just recently. We talked about it here on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago. But... I don't know. anyway, the let me tell you what's going on here first with time changes and whatnot, and I'll post this in the chat room here in a minute. We've got a few things going to change. Amy is going to stay the same. This is starting 11 November, next Monday. This is the new time. Amy is going to stay at the same time she is right now. Now, remember, these are all central times, so you're big boys and girls. You can figure out what it is in your area. 9 to 10 a.m. central time, Monday through Thursday. She's still not going to do a show on Friday. If something critical comes up that has to be addressed, I may take her slot on Friday if it's necessary. But the shooting bench will be now 2 hours a night, every night, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 12 p.m. Central. I'm sorry, guys, it's late. I know it, but I've got to be able to spend time with my family. I've got work to do, business to run, got a lot of stuff to do. If I'm going to stay on at all, this is the time that I'm going to have to do it. I could do it early in the morning, but chat room interaction is about zero. So I elected to do it late at night. A lot of the West Coast people will probably find this just fine because it's going to be 8 to 10 their time. It's probably going to be good for them. And Mountain Time will probably do okay with it. Central is going to be getting a little late. Eastern, we're not going to be done till 1 o'clock in the morning. I know we've got some diehards that will hang in there with us, but we'll definitely lose some, and I'm sorry about that. Concretin is going to stay the same. Concretin's Colloquium, 9 to 10 p.m. Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Mother Earth's Homesteading Hour, 9 to 10 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday. And that is generally Concretin is going to help her with her show, and it's going to be live. If anything changes, then there'll be a pre-record there. And then again, 8 to 9 p.m. Monday and Thursday. This is the one that we have to mix up a little bit because John Galt comes on Friday night. He will be coming on at 8 to 9 p.m. Friday only. So that is the night that Mother Earth will have to be an hour before him at 7 to 8 p.m. De Tinker will be on with the Tinker Shop Saturday, 9 to 10 p.m. Natty will come on with Godly Living, 10 to 11 a.m. Sunday. The Medic Shack with Edge of the Woods, awesome show, 9 to 10 p.m. Sunday. So there is the new schedule. I'm going to pop this into the chat room for you if you want to copy it and paste it and put it somewhere where you know where it's at. Also, it's going to be on the JMR website here pretty quick. Doc's wanting an update on our security business. Well, it's a little slow taking off. However, we did get the one I told you about. We got a good, awesome contract, big contract, for the next year. We're set on that one. And we're working on some other things every day. And we get some small gigs here and there. Nothing fantastic. But, we're trying to just, hold on here through the winter, because there'll be lots and lots of people come back here from down south, you know, from Phoenix down, what we call down in the valley. They'll be back here about April, mid-May, and then we expect it to go through the roof. But we're set right now. Got a contract starts next month, a real good one, and it's going to hold us over. Problem is with that, Southwest Shooting Authority is going to have to kind of take a back seat here. We're going to stay open. We're going to keep the FFL. We are going to order guns for people. We are going to guarantee the cheapest prices in the local area. Doc, thank you for that. I appreciate it. We're going to guarantee the lowest prices. I'm probably going to wind up selling guns here for like 10% over cost. And as long as I can get my plus shipping, I can't eat the shipping doing it that cheap. But so I think we're going to be the cheapest in town on that. We're going to continue to do our Glock work. We're getting emails every day. If you guys have noticed, our website is down right now. Our emails are not working. We've had a major blow up with the provider of that. And I think that we will, we're probably going to change providers. But we will get that squared away this week. So if you have any questions, you can always go look at our website and find our training schedule and everything on SecureAZ.com. www.gunsafety.us. That's our security company website. We're going to do a whole lot of work on the other one, reduce the size and all the stuff that goes with it, because Southwest Shooting Authority is going to be kind of an also-ran here now because of the security company. That's where we're putting our resources and time into. So, but we're still around. You guys know how to get a hold of me. You can email me at, for the time being, desertscout@hotmail.com. And when we get everything up and running, I will devote an email address specifically to the show, and we'll deal with that then. I'm going to go ahead and go to a break right now, and when we come back, give or take a minute or two, Matt Bracken should be with us, and we'll go from there. So stand by a minute, and
I'll be back.
Shooting Bench is moving to a new time, beginning 11 November 2013. Please join me, Coke Reynolds, from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, for the Shooting Bench. In addition, Thursday nights will be 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk, and Fridays will be devoted to classic country music mixed with some important news. Join me now every weeknight for 2 hours of the most politically incorrect gun-related show on talk radio.
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he... And his it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Years ago, I uttered the phrase, too late, as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back, and wow, perfect timing. That looks like Matt calling right there. Hello, Matt. We got you there?
I'm speaking.
All right. Let me turn up my sound here a little. There we go. Perfect timing, buddy. I just finished a break. You couldn't have done it any better. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thanks. It's a nice, cool evening here in Florida, overcast.
Well, I didn't know they had cool evenings in Florida, but I guess this time of year it's getting a little better. When I was there, it wasn't.
Oh, it's getting nice. Yeah, it maxed out around 72 and overcast today.
No, that's not bad at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I put up 30 feet of fence, 4x4 cement and all that stuff.
Yeah. Stayed busy.
So, it was getting me going, but I wasn't paying attention to anything on Facebook, which is good.
that's fine. Well, I was just fixed. I'm going to put this link in there right now. For those of you that don't know, if you don't know, shame on you. Matt Bracken is the author of Enemies Foreign and Domestic, and the whole trilogy that goes with that, Domestic Enemies, The Reconquista, and Foreign Enemies and Traitors. That's the one I'm reading right now. And there's also the Bracken Anthology. If you'd like to get that now, today only, there's a free download.
Till tomorrow night.
Say again?
Till tomorrow night. It's all the way through all of tomorrow.
Okay, through tomorrow.
It goes by Amazon time, so it's funny to me. It's 3 a.m. my Sunday. It would go live for, Amazon starts their clock in California.
Okay. All right. I'm going to put this link there for those of you that want to get the Bracken Anthology free on your Kindle. Go to this link right here. Come on, let's get up there. There it goes. There you go. Great books. Matt, to start with here, for those that don't know, and I can't imagine them not knowing, can you give us a brief history of yourself there and how all this got started?
Well, I'm from Baltimore. Was towards the end of a large family of everybody, getting out and being busy and going to college and so forth. And I went to college in Virginia in the 70s and to SEAL training right from there. Commissioned NROTC, went straight out to SEAL training, and was in the teams basically to pay for my four-year college obligation. And that coincided at that age with a young officer who's actually a shooter in a platoon. Unlike the movies, when you're moving up as an officer, you're no longer a shooter, and that's all I wanted to do. So I got out to pursue sailboats and sailing and building boats and stuff like that, and being a novice the last 10 or so years has taken me around to here, where I'm in a, hopefully in a position to talk about subjects that are near and dear to our hearts, namely our country.
Yeah. It's going to hell fast, isn't it, Matt?
It sure is. I mean, it's almost like I'm reading Animal Farm stuff like it's right out of my books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're just watched kind of like a Marxist who really pretended their way into a one-way Venus flytrap kind of national health care, where in the process the private industry is destroyed, so you can't dig up a corpse and make it walk again just because you think you made a mistake, right?
Right.
We're going to be forced into a government system where whether you get health care or an operation or whatever depends on if, you know, you're on the good comrade list or the bad comrade list. You're going to tell me that every 75-year-old won't get a pacemaker and every 74-year-old will, but you're not going to tell me that bad comrades, no matter what their age, they're not going to get it.
Period. Yeah.
And good comrades could be as old as George Soros, and they're going to get a, you know, another heart transplant. We know how it works. We've seen it. It's communism.
Yep, it is. And I really struggle with this. I get really flustered because, you know, I was raised in the 60s and in early 70s, and I got real accustomed to the life that we were leading back then. Now, of course, I can look back now and see the intrusions and everything that happened from previous, but I'm pretty accustomed to life in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And as I see things going now, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, you know, I'm out in Luna County, New Mexico, which is coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's the site of the notorious legal crucifixion and lynching of the Reese family.
Yeah.
The deputies out in Luna County, it said that the dirty cops keep the dirtier cops in control, and they all do it through threats of nuclear mutual blackmail because they all know all their dirty secrets. So it makes, you know, Chicago PD seem like, you know, angels in heaven. Anyway, these are the cops that, you know, paid perjurers, railroaded the Reese family. The latest thing is this rectal rape of this man, you know, obviously a gringo by his name,
yeah,
being anal raped by, you know, three Hispanic deputies. And it just seems like it's right out of my red book, Domestic Enemies, the Raycon Key stuff. But anyway, we're going back to when you said I was raised in the 50s, 60s, like I was 70s. One of the things that pisses me off about the leftists the most, and I get texts and emails from cops all the time, really pissed off, sad cops.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about this Luna situation, and it crystallized in my mind that 40, 50 years ago, there's no way three deputies anywhere in America would have raped a man, with foreign objects as a humiliation exercise, like 10 times, because any three deputies that would have ever got that idea in the first place, all right, it would have been considered like a mad dog foaming at the mouth wolf pack incident. They would have to worry that the fourth deputy would pull a gun out right there and draw him down or shoot him. But if three deputies are confident enough in emergency rooms and among civilians and with doctors that the culture will just accept this, an American being held down and aimlessly raped with foreign objects, more than 10 times as a humiliation exercise, legally under the color of law in uniform, I'm telling you, 30 or 40 years ago, the concept of honor would have meant that any fourth or fifth man there would have pulled a gun out. But now they just stand by. They were being beaten down into just accepting prison penitentiary behavior. I mean, as if we're in a penitentiary.
Yeah, a very large penitentiary, that's right.
And maybe Luna County, New Mexico, will serve a purpose finally, other than having UFO museums and things like that, other than the legal crucifixion of the Reese family. They could just basically pick anybody out of the phone book and throw the whole family into prison, take all their belongings so that they're penniless, can't afford a lawyer, you know, and then basically threaten the olders and men that if your wife and your kids is ever going to get out of jail, you got to admit and confession to something. This is right out of Gestapo Germany. That's Luna County, Mexico.
Yeah, The family were friends of mine, and actually the guy that works for me used to work for them. They're very good friends of his, so we've been following them pretty closely.
And these dirty cops in Luna County, all of them worked for one or other cartels at various times, and they all know all of each other's dirty secrets, and that's how they protect this little police mafia. But these are the very cops doing this raping that were doing the legal raping in court with perjury against the Reese family. But what's worst about it, now I could accept it if this is just Bad Apple County. What happens is the Department of Justice under Eric Holder and the FBI, they find it very convenient to pluck these bad apples out. And it's almost like the concept of the special training unit in my first novel, Enemies Foreign and Domestic.
Mm-hmm.
You got bent, dirty, crooked cops that you know you've got evidence. You can put them in the prison for years and years. If you're the FBI, you can just offer this guy an informant contract, and you've got a henchman loyal life. Because, you know, he's either going to be an informant, and you'll lick his hand for that, and grab you by the neck in prison. So these dirty cops are the most soft-heavy in the hands of the DOJ and FBI. So yeah, perjure anybody. So you can pick these cops up. They'll do the dirty work. The FBI guy won't be there to have to, like, do the anal raping.
Yeah.
But they hire these guys. The FBI and DOJ do hire these guys for the dirty work.
You know, I didn't find your novel, Enemies Foreign Domestic, to be very... an exaggeration by any sense. It's current right now.
It is now, and I'm a trend person, I guess, and student of history. I'm a compulsive student of history, and I felt compelled 10 years ago to write this, and now we're here.
Yep.
Here we are, and even this. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of that shooting out at LAX.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff about that just seems like, wait a minute, was it an exercise or was it real?
Yeah.
Was this also like a media's managed event or what? What really happened? Because I'm not buying anything anymore. I mean, it's getting crazy. Every day I'm waking up, I'm waiting for, today was somebody shooting at a mall and some kids with BB guns. Every day I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen.
You know, it used to be to do a show like mine, to have 2 hours of this kind of stuff, you had to really pay attention and scrape stuff from way back, because we'd get important or critical topics once a week, once a month, whatever. But we're getting stuff almost hourly now, and that's no exaggeration. You know, wait an hour, and we'll have something else to report on.
And it's like a system that's starting to develop a recurring vibration. When the vibration increases in amplitude and in frequency, then you got to start thinking about where's a soft shoulder I'm going to bail out of this thing onto, or where's a way truck lane to put onto, or a parachute, because the increased amplitude frequency of these social breakdown occurrences indicates that system failure is imminent. It's like an engine, or a bridge starts oscillating. It ain't going to get better. The waves keep getting higher and more frequent. It's going to go right until there's a system collapse.
You know, some of this some of this problem with some of these police departments. We've got a regular listener in here that said that people have been turned down from positions in police departments because they were too intelligent. Well, I don't know about that, but along those same lines,
yeah,
I talked to an officer in Atlanta, Georgia, several years ago when I was working down there. And because of this affirmative action stuff, he had to make, I don't remember what it was, 92, 96 or something like that, on a test that they were taking to get his position. And a black man, same age, looking for the same job, same qualifications, same everything, had to get a 70-something to get the same job.
Well,
now, that is government-sponsored racism at its finest.
Well, that's been our reality of our entire adult lives, certainly, and I don't see any end to it. But unfortunately, a lot of these, and this is the last thing I wrote was The Last Brave New Babylon, which is on the Bracken Anthology, which folks can download free till midnight Amazon time tomorrow. Anyway, and it's only $3 the rest of the time. And not only that, all of these articles, all the essays and articles that are in the anthology are on my website, linked all over the internet, Western Rifle Shooters or AR-15 or Free Republic. So it's not like, I just want them out, okay? You know, if I could drop them out of airplanes over Washington, I would. But anyway, the thing I wrote, Last Brave New Babylon, it discusses this, how we have worked in a manner against natural law. Natural law teaches, and I'm not even going to go into the bedroom, natural law teaches reality and hard work. Because if you didn't lay in 7 years against the drought or the famine, you could be screwed and your whole people would be wiped out. So natural law taught reality and to be a prepper, and you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
And what we've done is turned Darwin on its head and said, the stupider you are and the more idiots you can breed, the more money will be. Well, that can work to get votes, but only until the system collapses, which is where we are on the verge now. You know, it was about three weeks ago, 17 states had a three-hour EBT short.
Right.
And fighting happened immediately.
Yep.
3 hours.
Do you think that was a test?
Days. Well, they were pissed. They already had stuff in their cart. Can you imagine the frustration? Your whole life, a welfare card has worked.
Yeah.
You've got places to go. You know, you've got things to do. So immediate looting and rioting.
Do you think that was a glitch, like they say, or do you think it was a test to see how would things?
I've heard different things. You know, I'm not knowledgeable up on the computer end of it to know for sure, but I've heard people analyze it and say, like, that's not the, when they do a test, they don't do like a system-wide thing. They, you know, there's all these parameters that engineers said indicate it was more than just a random test.
Yeah.
That it might have been some, I mean, not like a legit computer company switching to a beta model of the program. You know what I mean? They didn't do it in a way that was plausible, so who knows. But whether it was arranged or not, the point is, you know, I get in these discussions, people are talking about an EMP burst. Well, it's impossible to get a suitcase nuke, blah, blah, blah. That's focusing at the wrong end of the problem. The problem isn't whether EMP is real. The problem is, what happens if anything knocks our grid down?
Right.
Cyber attack, computer war, asteroid, solar flare, it doesn't matter. Sabotage, people getting pissed off and shooting transformers. You know, if I'm going to freeze to death out here in the country, well, they're not going to have power in the cities either, by God. It comes down to a psychology, even as simple as that. I mean, people had in lots of places, they'd sabotage electricity. Going down the line, if I don't have it, you won't have it either. You know, why should I pass current through my town when I don't have power? Anyway, people get into that kind of a vandal mentality, and the next thing you know, nobody's got any power.
Yeah. There seems to be quite a rash of active shooter incidents here in the immediate past. Got a listener on the chat room with all these things going on, and with the local PD showing up in droves. He wants to know what you think about how they're going to fare when the balloon goes up, and are they?
You mean the police? The
yes.
Active shooter police?
Yeah.
Well, I think that more. Two things immediately come to my mind. The LAX shooter, they had just done a drill, a month or a couple months before. So they were out there lickety-split. One thing, I saw an aerial shot. It cracked me up. They must have nobody with any kind of practical common sense experience. They had a triage head on, like, the morning show. They were saying how, fortunately, they didn't have enough victims to need to make their, like, medical area come immediately. They had a friggin' MASH unit set up in the first half hour. Me they weren't preparing for a drill. Anyway, they had on the ground like 6 by 16 foot tarps, triage area, and the tarps were colored red, yellow, and green. Now, I'm sorry, in the old days of medics would mark you on your forehead, you didn't know what was marked on your forehead. Nobody's going to get on the red tarp, buddy. I'm crawling off the red tarp with bloody stumps onto the yellow tarp at least. The triage area, you don't let the patients know that they're on the, you know, we're going to do down the well here. I mean, whole next unit set up like right off the bat. Come on. Think about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a drill. I saw pictures of that blood on the carpet. It's like you know, that false, when they're doing drill, got like the fake guts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they dress up with, like, to like shock people so that, you know, anyway, I have severe questions about that. But another story that runs complementary to that, Austin, Texas at the haunted house, where 200 feral youths ran amok. And because of 200 feral youths running amok for like a half an hour, it drew so much police from all over Austin that even though they only arrested like 10 people or something, because, you know, their lag time is so great compared to a flash mob, they said, and here's the takeaway from it, responding to this act of, you know, wanton riotness, whatever, this is how they're putting it, they're not looking at it the other way, caused us to, like, have almost no police covering the rest of Austin, which could have led to, like, serious crimes and problems. It's like, well, duh. You just told everybody that a 200-person riot maxes out your police force, and you can't respond anywhere else. It's a question, dumbass. What happens if 10 of these things happen in 10 zip codes in your city?
Yeah.
You've just told us that it's going to be, the bank is open, boys. The jewelry store is yours.
Yep. Do you think, and I don't know exactly how to word this, do you think this is a natural progression of things because of our apathy, or is there, do you feel that
definitely.
There is a deeper...
Oh, this is a cycle. This is absolutely a cycle. I absolutely see this as a cycle. And unfortunately, we're going almost vertical. With, you know, the rate of historical change is like seemingly rapid. You know, computers are an accelerant. There's plenty of accelerants right now. We've had thirds to get rid of the concept of honor. So it'll be easy to get people to say, have a Gestapo or SS mentality because everybody's a nihilist now. We've had nihilism as a religion for a long time. Nothing really matters. You know, granny's too old, give her the pain pill. But this is a grand super cycle. There's a really interesting engineering experiment, which also works as a thought experiment, called Venn table. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah. Well, when you told me about it the other day,
you have
the
like
first time, a
big funnel over a table, drops dry sand into a cone-shaped pyramid, and it looks extremely stable. It gets bigger, maintains like the same 45-degree angle, and it looks like, hell, this just can keep going until it's like the size of the roof, you know? But it doesn't. Something inside reaches like a weight or some other problem, causes it all to suddenly collapse. But right up until the end, any expert looking at it would say, there's no reason not to assume this cannot continue indefinitely. Well, unfortunately, compared to other collapses in history, because of technology, we've like way leveraged this, like, you know, options and, you know, calls and puts.
Mm-hmm.
We've way leveraged our position. So instead of a 45-degree angle sand cone, which will still collapse, right, like Incas or whoever.
Right.
But we're saying we have super technology, so we can now hold an 80-degree, like a upside-down ice cream cone, because we've got super sand glue technology that means the old rules don't apply anymore. I'm sorry. When the sand glue at the edge cracks, that thing is going to come down even worse than the old 45-degree cone.
Mm-hmm.
And my reason for saying this is no other cultures in history had their food come from, what, 100, 500, 1,000 miles away by truck, ever. This is new in history. If the truck stop, we start starting next week, immediately, right away. And I mean, FEMA and everybody else, they're like 200 cop riot in Austin. FEMA can do a 200 youth riot. Katrina, Sandy. It can't do 10 Katrinas and Sandys. Totally breaks down then. Totally breaks down. So it doesn't even need to take the power going out. But what needs to happen is anything causes the transportation system to be flexed for a few days. It could go off the rails. For example, what happens if I'm going to say this very carefully, what would happen if a very divisive but popular by half the population national leader and unpopular in other half the nation, was suddenly offed, like in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a grid down in 1968, but I remember a lot of, you know, a lot of big cities, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, Baltimore, Philadelphia, I mean, that didn't require grid down. And there wasn't even anything like the food stamp entitlement for him today. And if anything, there's much more rage today because they've had 30 years to catch up on, you know, white oppression studies. That's the source of all these knockout games and things like that, is that they're being paid us.
Yeah, and it's working.
Which is very evil.
Yeah, this...
I think we're just like a dynamite factory looking for a trigger at this point. And I say don't even focus on the trigger. Spark can come from 100 directions.
Yeah. Yeah,
fact is, you're living in a dynamite factory, you know, with gunpowder all over the floor.
Yeah, I'm asked all the time, what do you think's going to start this? And I said, well, in the first place, you know, it doesn't matter. I think we're past the point of no return. There's a dozen things that can start it. And when one of them goes, the other ones are going to follow immediately.
Right, sympathetically.
Yep.
People don't understand. It's kind of easy to imagine you got like a vascular system and a nervous system, or the veins and the arteries, kind of like parallel infrastructures like that. But the electrical grid and the computer data network, which is mainly in, I think it's like an Oracle system. Is it Oracle or? Anyway, the computer data flying around the satellites is what allows all the just-in-time, which is all we've got now. So it runs like a Swiss watch. It runs like a computerized Swiss watch. But if the data system stops, then even like the basic software that runs things like the power plants is going to break down and fail. It's all networked today. You know, we can't go back to the old way of sending paper invoices. If the computer network goes down, the grid goes down. If the grid goes down, the computer network goes down.
Yep.
It's like your blood system and your, you know, nerve system. If one takes a huge hit, the other is going to fail too. It can't just go on by itself. Each needs the other. So
if you don't mind, if you can come back with us, let's take about a 5-minute break or so here, and you can finish your thought if you still have something there. But also,
sure, no,
I'd like to get
fine,
into the militarization. No, don't apologize. Well, everybody's eating it up. But let's talk a little bit about the militarization and this shock and awe stuff that's going on that we talked about on the phone the other day.
Okay. You bet.
Give me about 5 minutes here, and we'll be back.
You bet. I'll be here.
You must figure a real dangerous man.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only three categories: number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measure Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right. We're back, and we've got Matt, you still with us?
I'm here.
All right. We've got Matt Bracken, the author of Enemies Foreign and Domestic, and another number of other good novels. And for those of you that have a Kindle, there is a free download available through tomorrow night. I'm going to post the link in the chat room again for you. And you can tell where Matt's heart is here. It's not, even when it's not for free, it's $3. So, and he's...
But even that is just so that people can do one click and put it on one device. All of the essays on it, all of the stories and short stories and essays that are on it, are on my website. Just find the link and click on each link. They don't, you know, it's only that if you want all, like, 17 of these in one spot, but otherwise, just look, you know, if you hear about something like, you know, the CW2 cube, just Google it. It'll pop up all over the place. I'm not, like, copyrighting any of this stuff. I want it pirated. Send it out there.
That's the difference. Airplane. That's the difference between us and a lot of other people out there that charge, you know, $30 for the same book. They're trying to make money on it, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. There's, you know, capitalism is a great thing. But,
no, but in the case of the Bracken Anthology, I just want to emphasize, it's all on the internet anyway. It's just if you want to have it on one spot, like 17 chapters, it's on Kindle, whether it's free today or $3 tomorrow. But all of it's on the websites and floating around the internet. It's not hidden. I'm trying to, like, carve it on mountain walls.
Yep. We're trying to get the word out here before voting from the rooftops becomes routine.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants this thing to go, you know, into a crazy stage. And my fear is that no matter what happens, we're, you know, take the politics out of it. We're at the end of so many cycles. It's obvious that we're, like, standing on a seawall watching, like, four different tsunamis approaching, you know, study them 100 miles out, telescopes. And it's like, that's right, they're all going to hit. So you should be running for the mountains. And that's kind of kind of the point of what I'm doing right now. If any, we're living in a tinderbox. It, you know, it's not sustainable. When the EBT system in 17 states goes down for 3 hours and there's a meeting,
yeah.
Do you think is going to happen if a popular national leader gets the Martin Luther King example? 1968, no grid down, big problems.
Yeah.
Today would be much worse. I fear much worse.
In spite of what you're doing and how you feel, do you think that we are at that point of no return? I mean, we don't want to ever quit trying, but do you think it can really be turned around at this point?
It can't go on the way that it cannot go on and then just back over the hill and coasting back to a calm glide. No, what we're seeing is a crescendo. You know, when you're seeing homosexuals getting married and kissing in the West Point Chapel, mm-hmm. Lucifer mm-hmm. is laughing, okay? Amazing. Satan is up on the mountain or wherever the hell he is, and he is laughing, all right? This is signs and portents. This is the last big shakes before the wheels come off. You know, we're in so many ways we're going to be at best Argentina with nukes. We're about to lose the rule number 11 of Monopoly. The bank never runs out of money. You can just make them on slips of paper. Okay.
Yeah.
We're at the stage where we lose our reserve currency status. We had the reserve currency from World War II, Bretton Woods. We agreed gold for dollars. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. The dollar becomes the same as a Russian ruble. But we had one ace in the hole, which was in World War II, we made a deal with the Saudis and the OPEC countries to only denominate petroleum contracts in dollars so that even though it wasn't backed with gold, we still got to play, in essence, the banker on the monopoly table.
Mm-hmm.
We can buy all the petroleum we want because all we got is print more dollars. Germans want to buy more petroleum. They got to trade with us and get dollars. You know, they got to send us a lot of cars or something and get dollars to buy oil. We can just make dollars and get oil. That's about to go away. We become Argentina with nukes.
How would we turn that around at this? If it were possible, when we've printed so much money with nothing to back it up, financially, how would we fix that right now? Or is it even possible to fix
it? It doesn't get fixed. What happens is, the elites try to arrange a flashy crash, you know, Buffalo jump, Titanic, where by coincidence they were already pre-warned. You know, all these countries like Argentina, one of the big signs that they're going to have a currency devaluation is that the elites are like flying out of the country with suitcases full of currency, okay? Because they've been given like a 2-week heads up to like, get some money to your bank in Miami and deposit it. It's about to be, you know, or in Vietnam, you know, when they would change the script. Everybody would know, and you'd like, if you had an advanced knowledge that they're going to knock a zero off the currency, you can do a lot of good stuff with that knowledge. But what will happen is the economy is going to crash, either American Depression or Weimar Germany, but the economy, the currency falls apart. This is all, so it helps. It's not that they plan, like, we're going to, you know, take down this bank. But when it happens, when the system crashes, the billionaire elites will all say, damn, well, that's really unfortunate. I guess we'll have to figure out what we do in the rubble now. It's a good thing that I had my, you know, house in the Caribbean with a 20-year supply of diesel, you know, and a few boats and airplanes ready to come back and regain my property. And then they can say, well, I had nothing to do with it. I mean, the whole thing crashed and burned. I was over there in the Caribbean anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a poker game when you're totally losing and you can't afford to lose and the lights go out and shots ring out and the tables flip over. Game's over, boys. You know, it's a mad scramble for the doors or the chess. But the game as we knew it is over, and that's what's coming. The game as we knew it is over.
Yeah.
And we're going to see some kind of a radical reshuffle. I don't know if it means regional separatism. I don't know if all 50 states go off the rails, or if you know what happens. But I kind of feel like the powers that be are cruising for a reaction. They're almost like, sort of like in the bar room. They're going into the bar and they're like poking people in the chest and sitting in them, trying to get them to react, knowing that they're like an undercover cop that will then arrest you, you know. But they're doing a lot of things to piss people off, and it seems very flagrantly intentional. And then doing all these drills that then turn into terrorist incidents, like Boston at one end, which obviously was a terrorist incident, but wasn't it convenient that they happened to have, like, you know, the SWAT convention, the tri-state SWAT convention that weekend? You know, wasn't that lucky? Or this thing in LAX. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
In one level, what their point is, I used to notice this with smuggling. As a SEAL, I was trained to sneak in and out of countries without their permission. And a lot of what I see about, you know, public service announcements or TV shows featuring the Coast Guard or DEA or Customs, they show, like, a lot of the Zoom boats and cool airplanes catching guys, but it's more of a show. It's sort of like a don't try because we really got lots of boats out there looking when they really don't. And these shows of force, like these giant, like Boston lockdown, LAX airport, you know, mass units set up in half an hour, a lot of it's meant to, like, mask their weakness. It's meant to be a show. Like, boy, if terrorists come here, we got 500 SWAT guys ready to jump right on them. And it's a show if they can prearrange, you know, they've got the SWAT convention and lots of TV cameras. But the more close to reality is us than the Haunted House riot. 200 youths completely overwhelm the police of Austin. That's the reality. So what would 2,000 youths in 10 places do? You know, that, so I sometimes see the show, the dog and pony show of the quick response forces, as like the old Customs and DEA showing, you know, don't try smuggling, folks. We catch them all.
So if these 200 youths overwhelmed the police department,
well, it strapped them. It meant they couldn't respond anywhere else in the city.
So did they? What was they? I missed that story. What was their purpose? What were they doing?
The week before Halloween, or a couple weeks before, some ugly old warehouse is converted into a gigantic haunted house, which becomes then a major local tourist attraction for, you know, teenage high school kids, whatever, families, to walk through and chainsaw people jump out of corners at you. But a really big building and a long line to get in, and 200, you know, minority urban youths basically started bunching up into this huge mass and mugging people, like, you know, a little typhoon moving through mugging people. And by the time the police arrived and put flight to the 200 youths, they said that they had, unfortunately, had to, like, strip all of the police coverage out of the rest of the city to respond, and that it was very fortunate that no major crimes happened anywhere else, because there was no police anywhere else.
Didn't they? So they say they overwhelmed them. These youth, as they call them, were probably not armed. Did they overwhelm them because they were not allowed to use lethal force on them, or?
I think it's like in my big essay that's on the Bracken Anthology and also floating on the internet, called When the Music Stops, How Our Cities Made the Violence. The flash mob operates like on a 5-minute form, regroup, retreat cycle, and the police operate like on a 1-hour form, regroup, retreat. It's the observe, orient, decide, act loop, the OODA.
OODA loop, yeah.
And the police can never get... See, it used to be, it's exactly turned, this is another reason why the wheels are coming off. The police, at least in the age of radio, always had a communication advantage. Even when it was call boxes on the street, they had a communication advantage over the average criminal or gang or rioters. They could at least marshal their smaller numbers to, like, serve as, like, block points or shepherd a crowd, you know? If we got onto that corner, at least they wouldn't be able to go down there. Well, that all depended on the police having the shorter end of the, or you know, the ODA loop of better communications. But now a mob of criminals has equal or better communications, so they can flash mob, do all this scary, you know, urban terrorism crap for 15 or 20 minutes, and by the time the police arrive, they disperse like, you know, atomized in all directions.
You and
so,
I.
So what are the police trying to arrest? It's not like a herd of sheep that are all in a tight knot. As soon as they see the blue lights coming, boom, they're gone like a bomb burst.
Yeah. You and I talked on the phone the other day about, and it made perfect sense, about the militarization. Well, not even that so much. I mean, that's one issue in and of itself. But the other one is, why do we not, and I have talked about this on my show countless times, what happened to guys, you know, admittedly with ballistic vests on in suits going up with a warrant and saying, hey, this guy lives here, we'd like to talk to him. And then if they're met with force, then, you know, they can back it up with whatever. Instead of going in and crashing doors down and killing everybody that's big enough to die.
Well, there's two currents here that are two currents flowing in the same direction are amplifying each other. One current is it's no longer Eisenhower's beware of the military-industrial complex. It's now beware of the law enforcement political-industrial complex, because there's big bucks, all this gear and training. Training is way expensive. All these towns have SWAT teams. They got to go out and train. And you're talking huge bucks.
Yeah.
So there's a whole industry of trainers. The last thing I'm reading tonight is about this, the Department of Homeland Security. Somebody found, you know, a little classified want ad. They're now hiring contractors, i.e. Blackwater type of triple canopy stuff,
mm-hmm.
contractors for domestic operations that need a top secret, for top secret undercover kind of operations. Well, what the hell? Who is this? A special training unit? Is Bob Bullard in charge of this?
Yeah.
Wally Melvone there? And if they're now advertising for more contractors for domestic top secret missions that are classified, you know, that we can't learn about, if they're advertising for them openly or semi-openly now, they've already got the units and have had the units. It's just now they're so big they need to like bulk the units out with more personnel, and they don't even have enough in house. So they're saying we don't have enough Border Patrol, BORTAC, FBI SWAT, FBI HRT, every, you know, alphabet agency's got their own multiple special response teams. They don't have enough of them. So they are now advertising for contractors like Blackwater. But they need a top secret, like they were working in Iraq or Afghanistan or, you know, Bongo Bongo Land for the State Department or the CIA. But now they're working for the DHS classified on air soil. I'm sorry, this is so wrong on so many levels. I mean, it's just bothering the hell out of me watching this country go full Nazi on us right before our eyes.
So, what do you, I'm asking
well,
you
this. I'm sorry. I was actually going somewhere with that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So there's two things going on. One is the police industrial complex. You've got all this channel, funnel of money coming in to buy all this stuff. You want to use it. It's the paradigm. The example I use is 10 years ago, the city manager says, oh, SWAT team cost $3 million. You only went out three times last year. We're going to have to cut that budget. How many times do you think the SWAT team is going to get called out next year?
Yeah.
If three times, if unit more means that you're justifying your budget, they send a sniper team out to get the cat out of the tree. You know, a friend calls on her husband. They send a SWAT team with a Bearcat and battering ram on the Bearcat and smash right into his living room after shooting him in the chest. I mean, so you've got the gear, use the gear. You can't justify all that gear and training if you're not going out there using it. You got to use it. You train. It costs money. Use it. Not three times a year, 300 times a year.
Right.
Anyway, and then the other thing is, it's part and parcel with this rectal rape of this man in Luna County by those Luna County out of control corrupt cops. But it's a punishment thing. It's these, you know, genital broke roadside cavity searches are forcing on citizens. It's about humiliation. It's about knuckling under, knowing that, you know, when the police come up to your window, you better just cower down. And it's related to what I was talking about last hour, where these three Luna County cops, that, you know, would rape this man in front of nurses and doctors and civilians. 30 years ago, you would have depended on the culture saying, no way, stop that, what are you doing? Well, now on a just generalized societal level, the police of every department looking around at the news and they see, I can go Gestapo and I'll be backed.
Yeah.
I can do a beatdown, I can taser somebody two times, have a heart attack and he dies, and I will not lose a paycheck. And the thuggishness of the worst of the police, let's not deny it. I mean, I love cops, and it's a job I could do for 5 minutes, right?
Me too.
I salute anybody that puts on body armor to go to work, and especially if they're doing it for the right reasons. But like this Luna County, where the dirty cops, you know, blackmail the dirtier cops, you know, it's a disgraceful, out-of-control situation. Makes nothing. There was nothing happened in Mississippi or Alabama as bad as what they're doing in Luna County, New Mexico. Yeah, and the FBI complicit in it because they use these guys as their enforcers. They're controlled enforcers, so it's disgraceful. But it's part of not only an industrial complex that justifies its use. You've got all these armored personnel carriers. Let's start smashing down doors with them. But also a culture of let's show the citizens that we're in control. You know, the citizens have to be told that in no uncertain terms that when we, like, shout, everybody get down, you know, these like schoolyard freeze exercises and all that. It's all this trained submissiveness. Pisses me off.
Yep, I know it. So in your estimation, I'm going to ask you the same thing people ask me all the time. What is a good, what's an indicator, do you think? What are we watching for? Are we just waiting for everything to go to hell and we'll just know what it is? Or do we have a particular thing? You know, James Wesley Rawls has his idea of what it is, and I just wonder if you had anything that might be...
Well, for sure, you know, a battle is made of 1,000 skirmishes, and for sure if you're down at the local supermarket and you get mugged or caught up in a flash mob or carjacked, you'll have considered that for you society has broken down to the breaking point because it broke right on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a constant fraying, constant unraveling. The honor is gone, so police will stand by while other police do these kind of horrible things. You know, 30 years ago, a fourth cop in the room would have pulled his gun right out and said, you just guys are out of your minds. You stop right now.
Yeah.
And it's not happening now. So the society has changed for the worse. And we can expect the, you know, the pierced, tattoo-faced nihilist generation, they will not care about putting people on trains. They will not care. There's no moral part that will put the brakes on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I look for the instant things will be just anything that leads the power going out. Best I kind of leave it like uncertain what happened in my last Brave New Babylon. That's on the Bracken anthology and also on the internet. But that nobody in that even knows what led to the power going out. You know, by the time the power goes out, there's no more news about it.
Right.
So it's nothing but conjecture. Solar flare, cyber war, who knows? You wake up and there's no more electricity. Ever.
You know, a few years ago, as you said, there would have been, if one cop was to try that, certainly, you know, I don't think we would have seen more than one try it. But so if a cop decides, another cop decides, you know, you can't do that. He pulls his gun and they continue to try, and he blasts them, and that's all a good thing. But that's not going to happen
nowadays. I think that 30 years ago, none of it would have happened at all.
That's
and
true.
But people that would consider doing something outrageously bad might consider that there's like a total straight arrow, you know, religious, whatever, good values person that would just say, you don't do that in my police station.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just imagine, there used to be a code of honor among men, among warriors. You just didn't do one of the. I remember seeing a couple of terrific documentaries about the My Lai Massacre. It was a completely out-of-control situation. But an American helicopter help to end it and break it up and report it immediately and bring, you know, the rest of the regular real army and get a control on that situation. But the helicopter that was observing this could have just said, dudes, let's go over and land a mile away and wait till the shooting dies down. But they didn't. They went right in there like gangbusters and tried to bust that whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on? So, and I've read all about, you know, every other genocide and democide. In most cultures, it's a complete submissive go along with the atrocity culture. In the Germans and doing the Jews in Eastern Europe, there was no Germans objecting. You know, the Japanese, no Turks, they don't object. If you get prisoner of war in one of those countries, don't expect any mercy or human comfort. If they decide to just throw you in a boxcar until you die of dehydration, they'll do it.
Yeah.
So it's an American characteristic that, for example, that we don't swear an oath to a leader, but to a constitution, to a set of ideals.
Right.
And that's why my novels are all about the Constitution, defending the Constitution, because eventually what it really boils down to, what it's going to come down to, is the boys and girls down in the fusion centers are going to have to decide, am I going to follow these political orders coming down from the Department of Justice to arrest these people falsely, to use cartel assassins and dirty cops as henchmen and enforcers, or am I going to say, no, I can't do that? You know, am I going to participate in rounding up dissidents and in dirty tricking and doing all kind of, you know, skullduggery? What are these Blackwater contractors being hired for with the top secret clearances for classified American domestic operations? Hello?
I mean, there'll be a clue there somewhere.
Major Hassan was at Fort Hood saying, I'm a terrorist for 3 years, but it was like, well, you say you're a terrorist, but we know that you really don't mean it. You mean jihad means struggle of the heart. We get it, Major Hassan. Keep your job, keep your pay. But so what are these Blackwater contractors doing on American soil as domestic what? What do they need shooters that are secret in American soil for?
Yeah.
But if it all comes down to, if they took an oath to the Constitution, it really boils down to, will they just, for a paycheck, turn into Gestapo? Or will there be a sense of honor? And I have to tell you, after this, like, Deming thing, the Luna County, New Mexico thing,
mm-hmm.
I feel worse. Because I feel like the culture is, screw their civil rights and screw that Constitution. I think that they probably walk over the Constitution in some of these federal In some of these federal law enforcement agencies, I think they probably walk over the flag in the Constitution. I think it's they probably will purge you out of the military now if you don't spit on the Constitution.
Can you imagine this judge? You know, they call him and wake him up and say, "Hey, this guy squoze his butt cheeks together a little bit, and we need a warrant." And it starts with that judge, and then they had one man. This whole deal here at the emergency room that said, no, he wouldn't do it because it was unethical.
Right.
So they took it to the Gila Regional Medical Center, and they just said, oh, yeah, hell yeah. If you want us to do it, yeah, bend over. Here, let's get started. One guy out of the bunch that would...
It's pretty angering. I don't know if this is semi-off the topic, but unless you consider it sort of about freedom and slavery.
Yeah.
And God help me, these words are going to come out of my mouth. I saw a great documentary on CNN called Blackfish about the orcas at SeaWorld. And no wonder you would want to grab one of these trainers eventually. You get tired of, like, being force-fed and force-everything. You know? You were used to swimming 100 miles a day, and they put you in, like, a one-acre swim, you know, round, square swimming pool.
Yeah.
And made you do tricks for food. And then force-fed you with, like, a 4x4 across your jaws, you know, to keep your teeth apart. I'd be like, I hate your guts.
Well, I think we're kind of coming to that.
I mean, imagine this man now, this Mr. Eckert. I hope he sues him all. The problem is, these cop rapists, they won't get the pay and dime. It'll be the citizens of Luna County who are all, you know, not that well off anyway.
Yeah.
But this guy Eckert, the gringo, the Anglo, it's just like Domestic Enemies, the Rey Conquista, my red book. It's like Basilio Ramos and the Zetas.
Mm-hmm. Excellent book, by
Luna
the way.
Luna County, it's lunacy.
The,
I mean, if there was justice in this country, the FBI would be all over Luna County. The problem is the FBI uses these dirty cops as their enforcers. No?
If, what if, you know, a cop could, what I was getting at a while ago is if there was a cop 30 years ago that would have stopped something like that if it were to happen, and there's nobody there to do that now.
And
what
I think
if,
what it's less likely to happen is the thought of everybody is that that would probably happen.
Yeah.
The thought has changed now that I have nothing to worry about. It didn't happen 30 years ago partly because the bad cops would have thought the good cops would stop this.
You know, a guy shot a cop the other day with a shotgun, killed him when he pointed a laser at his dog. And my take on that was, you know, he's through. He's tired. He's not going to do it. He's not going to accept what has been done across the nation. So we had one guy that stood up there, and he's not getting any backup. They're getting any help. If someone tries to, if three cops pull you over and try to do this, what are you going to do? What should you do?
Well, I know that if they kill you and bury you in the desert, that's one outcome.
Yeah.
But if eventually they have to let you out of jail, you know, just speaking as partly like a culture that I once knew or passed through or came out of the SEAL team culture, is you have to sleep with one eye open for the rest of your life and go into hiding, preferably on another continent after plastic surgery.
Yeah.
No.
Well, because it would be
not my favorite thing to have, you know, a bunch of ex-American special operations guys as my sworn enemies.
Yeah.
And that would definitely do it. In fact, back in SEAL Team, and after my time in SEAL Team, when I still hung around with a bunch of SEALs, I mean, this is just anecdotal, but it used to be rumored with lots of colorful anecdotes about trading favors for people that, you know, you considered basically trusted them more than your brother,
mm-hmm.
that I'll be someplace with a total airtight alibi, like, you know, Las Vegas, when the person that needs justice in this other town meets justice.
Yeah, when justice
just
arrives.
Come into town and do a favor.
Yeah.
Favor for a friend. That was like, you know, pretty much a tradition.
Well, I'm anxious to see what's going to happen and as far as your own personal security, how you feel about yourself, your safety, your family, with the books that you write and the interviews that you do and everything, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm pretty much open. I rather look at it that the more high profile I am, the better off I am at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it certainly isn't a guarantee of anything, but I think that the people that don't like what I write would think that it would only amplify my voice by taking my voice out, because there's too many books already out.
Yeah.
The books are about what they would be proving. That's why I wrote that piece called Gangster Government and Sakharov's Immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping to get a little bit of Sakharov's immunity. I didn't win a Nobel Prize for inventing it, you know, some nuclear fusion idea or whatever. But hopefully they would have the consideration that right now only, you know, a couple 100,000 people have heard of this guy, and we don't want a couple of, you know, couple of million people knowing about him.
Yeah.
Because my books are all about what's going on. That's why I write. I mean, I would just be sailing. I've been landlocked for 6 years. I don't like it. I want to be on the ocean. But I have felt that it's something, it's like being at the beach when the little kid sees the tide suddenly going out hundreds of yards, you know? It means something. It's not a random event. Don't go down and pick up the seashells.
Yeah.
You know, you got to tell people when you see these things coming. And especially, you know, to, in terms of the Civil War II cube, some things are just predictably really bad places to be when these things happen. And for example, high rises in cities. You know, as bad as it is in the suburbs, imagine doing it 20 stories up with no water, no electricity, no sewage, no elevators, you know, and within easy rifle range of like 10 other buildings that enemy gangs occupy.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be there. If you think that I'm just, you know, spouting gibberish and whatever, I don't care. But you can only, like Herman Cain says, you can only reach the reachable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to reach the reachable. And there's some lessons like, you know, don't be in a high rise in a multi-ethnic city near the border of the ethnic divide. Just don't.
Yeah.
But there's lots of things to do to, like, greatly help your outcome. You know, there's big things you can do right now. I think everybody should have, you know, a couple months' worth of food and independent work life.
At least.
I got a hand pump well put in, things like that. You know?
Well, they're becoming so bold and so, you know, there's such a lack of accountability in anything. And it's just we live in definitely.
Oh, they got away with Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
you're talking. You know, 300 to 400 people murdered as a result of a deliberate policy, the intended result. You know, they were at the same time hitting the drum of the 90% of the guns in Mexico meme. That was at the same time that President Obama told Sarah Brady. And she said, how come you're not doing any gun control laws? He said, don't worry, Sarah, we're working hard on it, but we're doing it under the radar.
Yeah, right.
That's when they were shipping the guns to Mexico while Hillary Clinton was every day saying, 90% of the guns, 90% of the guns. They were shipping the guns.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were doing. They were murdering Mexicans deliberately. It only unraveled when Agent Terry got killed, and even then they stonewalled it. I mean, weren't there hearings by ISA, and they were supposed to, like, deliver documents? It's like, forget it. They just run out the clock on everything.
Yeah. And people
maybe
like,
sold us Obamacare. I don't
people
know.
People like Rick Reese wound up paying for a lot of that.
Exactly. This is complete Gestapo Stasi tactics.
Yep.
It's just shameful that Americans even consider this an option. Even the ATF whistleblowers in the Fast and Furious case, they were only whistleblowers after Agent Terry was killed.
Mm-hmm.
They were watching the Mexican body count rack up, and they didn't, you know, their consciences didn't cause them to, you know, email anybody, any bloggers. It wasn't until Agent Terry. And also when the, I forget the Arizona gun store where they had tapes, they were going to set that guy out. They would have pulled a Reese job on him. Was it Lone Wolf? The big gun store in I guess, Phoenix? Or Apache Johnson?
Something Wolf. I think it was Lone Wolf.
But they, you know, they were putting the strong arm on them to do this, and the ATF agents didn't realize these boys were smart and had them taped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were about to come back to the gun store to arrest them like the Reese's for for participating in straw purchases. Lo and behold, that's when the tapes of the ATF agents coercing them into doing the very thing they would later be arrested for. They had on tape, and they've been able to cover it all up, or not cover it up, but just ignore it. I mean, it's like something hundreds of times worse than Watergate, and Woodward and Bernstein are like leading the cover-up, helping advise the White House how to cover it up.
No. And look what happened to Nixon.
I was a kid then, but I was working construction outdoors on a big project that summer. And each, like, you know, little cluster knot of construction workers, different trades, et cetera, would have the radios going all over, you know, 100 acres of construction. They're listening to the Watergate hearings all day long,
mm-hmm.
on every channel. And that was back before cable, when, you know, there was only 5 or 6 channels.
Right.
It was on every channel. They didn't even have the soap operas. ABC, NBC, you click from channel to channel, it was gavel to gavel coverage.
Yep.
And for Fast and Furious, I think that they had like, they would do like three minutes in 3 months. So it's it's nuts. I call it American Pravda.
Yeah. You know, the thing that bothers me as much as any of this is there's always going to be some, but the vast majority, overwhelming majority of people in this country, number one, don't have any idea. Number two, don't want to have an idea. They don't want their boat rocked. They don't want their job, their family.
It's something that everything that I've written is pointing people to read A Last Brave New Babylon. All right, the whole thing. If anybody that downloads it for free, for pay, or from the website bumps into it, I don't care. It's all to get you up into the radio tower to hear what the narrator says about why we got there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You know, what went wrong? And that's the whole point is we are now at the Sand Hill collapse, right on the precipice of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's vibrating. All of the gyres are starting to get vibrations. You know, it's a very risky time. Every day I foresee either a Reichstag incident. It could be it could actually be right wing wackos, or it could be some wacko right wing, you know, militia somewhere. But I doubt it. I think that it's much more likely that anything that looks Tea Party right wing will be some Professor Raoul X, you know, wing nut operation where they have you ever seen the movie or read the book The Parallax View?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's from the 60s, early 70s, but it's a patsy scam. It's a way to lure somebody in. Stephen Hunter's point of impact is loosely based on that. You know, you lure somebody in like the ex-sniper and you say, oh, we're doing a security review of where the president's going to be speaking. Can you, take notes and make drawings about, like, where a sniper might be? And obviously, you know, you don't realize that you're not a contractor. You're getting ready to be the patty. But the normal way is to infiltrate a group of lunatics and then encourage them to do something like deliver a package that turns out to be a pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm expecting, you know, some provocation. Obviously, they're geared up and waiting. They've been every time there's been a Tucson shooting or Aurora, Colorado, their first instinct, Boston bombing, first instinct. You know, it's April 15th. I'll bet it's the Tea Party. They're really angry about taxes. Yeah, they're going to bomb the Boston Marathon, the Tea Party, old ladies,
yeah,
you know, with American flags. But they're geared up for it. They're totally primed for it. Every time it happens, they're just salivating at the thought that it's a redneck with a, you know, Confederate flag and a Tea Party flag.
Well, I think that we better get primed in like fashion here. Something is going to break loose here, and it may not be, we talk about our domestic enemies. Our domestic enemies may be anything from illegal aliens, UN, you know, our own government, whatever the case may be. But something, I think, is very near breaking loose
here. It's hard to know how widespread a problem will be or how long-lasting, because the dynamic of all these things is changed by the perception that it's not going to get fixed. You know, Katrina, people started acting crazy, but everybody in your mind knows we just got to rough it for a couple weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
If months go by and there's not even anybody on the radio saying they're coming to help, then society operates very differently.
And yeah, this next time it would be more than months. It's probably going to be years. And I lost my train of thought.
A book that, while we're on this subject, a book that I would like to mention, if nobody's heard of it, is called A Failure of Civility. And I've been sent, you know, tons of books to review or whatever. But this one is like, you could say it's a prepper book, but it's not just like a list, like a chapter on, you know, how much food you need and a chapter on medical supplies. This is like the methodology of turning your neighborhood, your area, into a defensible area. Because a house is not defensible.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, unless you're like a monk up on top of a mountain in Tibet.
Right.
But a subdivision, you know, 50, 100, 300 houses, you can pool the resources and turn it into a gated community and fortify it. And I think it's the thing that would help the most people is to read that book and adapt its ideas, because you can't just, you know, unless your house is made out of precast concrete a foot thick, it's bullet transparent.
Yep.
So you've got to keep the bad people out of your neighborhood, not off of your street. They can't come down your street.
I think one of our biggest enemies is going to be each other. We're going to have so many things to watch for. We saw that happen with the EBT card breakdown. It's going to be our neighbors.
That's the thing. The thrust of this book, and not just, you know, I've mentioned it's a call to failure, civility, but the thrust of it is, if you prepare in stages your 100 neighbors for the idea that you might have to team up and really be more than a neighborhood watch, but like a neighborhood protection force, okay? Just a watch. A watch implies there's still police coming. We watch the police come and arrest bad people. That you have to start breaking in your neighbors, and how to do that without them thinking you're a nut. You know, how to do that in stages in a way that'll, you know, that'll be acceptable to your neighbors. They won't think you're a kook. But as the problems become more widespread, they're more amenable to listening to, we need a watch, we need, you know, patrols. Because the model that worked during the Dark Ages was not, you know, like the American farm model, where you can have, during times of civility, a farmer and the wife and the kids out on, you know, 500 acres. It's not defensible.
Right.
So in middle ages in China or Europe, it's a small walled city. So it's basically fortify the subdivision, keep the bad people out, and then work on maintaining your subdivision as an island of civility, where you're going to, I mean, it's obviously more complex than this, but you're going to try to keep order and civility, not just turn your neighborhood into, you know, Mad Max warlord town.
Yeah.
You know, we're still going to be Americans and Christians and treat each other right. But we have to do, to survive, we have to keep the guys out of our neighborhood. And so that book is totally different than any other prepper book. It's not like, you know, how to build a bunker or nothing like that. Anyway, that if we're going to get through this, we're going to have to maintain small towns, subdivisions, as islands of civility and civilization and, you know, normal behavior. Because it would be very easy to have it become a bloodletting. I mean, literally in a month there'll be cannibalism.
Yep. Yep, I believe that. I think these people that are going out there and getting 2 acres way out there and then claim, yeah, I'm off the grid, I've got all this. Well, they're going to be okay for a little while until things spread out. But when they are discovered, they have no chance. They have no possibility of surviving that.
Yeah, the cities are like beehives. You know, when you look at a beehive, you only see 2 or 3 hovering around it. You go up and whack that thing with a baseball bat.
Yep.
And you're going to find out there's enough use for the whole acre.
Yep.
And when a city suddenly gets no more food coming in because the trucks stop, because of the riots and fires, then it becomes a self-reinforcing hot zone, you know, like a firestorm. It doesn't need any more input. It off the rails like that, it just starts to feed itself. Beirut, Lebanon, 15 years. 15 years. Imagine that. Sniper alley type of existence for 15 years.
Hmm.
And we could have that in, you know, a dozen American cities. We've already got the
easily
societal ingredients. You know, we've got the anger, the racial anger. Just take the food out. All of a sudden, cut off the water. Imagine Los Angeles. No food, no water.
Yeah, how's it going to be in Las Vegas, as hot as it is there?
Yeah, where do they go?
Yep.
Phoenix, Tucson.
Yeah, what the hell happens to them when the power goes out? Those people get up in the morning in an air-conditioned bedroom, get in an air-conditioned car, and drive to an air-conditioned office, stop at the air-conditioned beer joint, go to the air-conditioned mall, get back in the air-conditioned car, and go to the air-conditioned house. When the power goes out and everything, those people are going to, it's going to suck to be in Phoenix. Or Las Vegas.
Well, the Salt River, I guess the Salt River provides like 5 or 10% of Phoenix's water. It used to be enough to sustain like melon agriculture in the Phoenix Valley, and there were just a few crazy old desert rat types, you know, that wound up down there that could endure that weather before electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even before an electric fan, imagine that.
Yeah.
As bad as it is without air conditioning, you can set a big fan on yourself and it's better than nothing. But 150 years ago, you didn't even have sunglasses or fans. So it was, 1 or 2% of the current population of Phoenix? The people that live there now could not live there without electricity.
Hell no. They don't have, you know, we think about the people that were on the borax trains and stuff across Death Valley back in the day. You know, the women back then were tougher than any of the men we have now. They didn't have Gore-Tex, they didn't have styrofoam, they didn't have, you know, nice coolers and all that stuff. They made it across that 116 degree desert.
That was one of the ultimate guts tests, because What did they say? The cowards never left, and the weak didn't make it. You know, so all you got is brave, strong people at the other end.
Yeah.
But we've whittled that down. We've raised, you know, a nation of fat, lazy idiots.
Yep. And done a good job of it, I think, too.
And it works well for buying votes until the sandhill gets too high and too steep.
Yep. Well, Matt Bracken, I sure appreciate you. I wish that I hope that I get a chance to come down to Florida and visit with you before the balloon goes up here. I would love to go out and pop a few caps with you.
I'm sure hoping it never goes up.
Me too.
Bubble along. I want to be considered a you know, forgotten bad writer, you know, alarmist.
Yeah.
I'll wear those tags gratefully, happily. Nobody sane wants to see happen what we think could happen.
No, sir. But we would like to see the ultimate outcome of restoring the Constitution, as bad as it's going to get, and it will. I would like to see the Constitution restored before my children have to do it.
We have to hold to that. That has to be our North Pole.
Yeah.
Constitution, period. Now, I'm a big fan of Mark Levin. He's a great constitutionalist, and that's what I consider myself now. People say, what are you, a conservative, a libertarian? I say, I'm a constitutionalist.
Yep, I'm an American.
That's what I am.
Yep,
I agree. Read the damn thing. Anyway, Dave, good to be on the show.
Promote your download and your books here right after you get off, and I'll probably be getting hold of you again one of these days. Hopefully everything holds together.
Right,
we can do this again.
I'll see you over on Facebook.
All right. Thank you, sir, and good night.
Okay, bye-bye. Good night.
All right. There is Matt Bracken. We've had him on the show before, back a year or so ago. Matt is a very inspired man, I think, for the books he's written. You've got to read those books. You know, he asked me there, have you read this and have you read that? No. The only books I've read are Matt Bracken's books. It's been a long time ago I read. Well, that's not true. It's not true. I read, my friend John Carpenter has got a couple of books out that I've read that were awesome. What's the Unintended Consequences was the last book I read years ago. So I don't have time to read. I love to read, but I just don't have time. But I'm making time to read Matt Bracken's books. They are awesome. Be sure, for those of you that have Kindle or Kindle for PC, go to Amazon. Matter of fact, I'll get you a link here right now so that you can go and get this free download. But this is what I've told people numerous times about the things that I do, the colloidal silver generators and all the stuff that I've tried to do for people, because I believe in it. I want you to have the stuff. You know, I am to a point where I've just about destroyed my gun business, because I've spent all my time at rallies and traveling and speaking and doing everything else and kind of let everything else go to hell, because I sincerely and passionately believe in this, as does Matt Bracken and several other people. So that's why he's offering these things not only cheap most of the time, but free right now. So, with all that being said, I need to get out of here. It is Tuesday. I think that Concrete and Mother Earth is going to be coming in here in just a minute. So I'm going to Concretin. If you're still there, I saw you earlier. You've got about 2 minutes and 27 seconds as soon as I say right now, but I'm not going to say right now yet because I want to tell everybody good night. I'll see you in the morning for Amy's show. Thanks for joining me, and this show will be up on the podcast tonight before I go to bed. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Concretin, 2 minutes, 27 seconds right now.
Bert stands in the corner with the barrels so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.